Hello, everybody. It is 9 a.m., November 27th, 2024, and I weighed in at 501 pounds this morning. I am so close to being under 500. I can feel it. What's tough is that this entire period of me being sick for the last 4 days has absolutely tested my patience and my ability to keep going. I have had a pretty brutal cold during all this time, and the aches have been absolutely horrible for trying to keep going. I mean, I basically didn't do any of my extracurricular exercise. I did push myself to do some walks at the start, but then around day 3 and 4, I'm like, I can't do anything. So it's clear to me I am absolutely suffering from the dreaded man cold. And so because of that, I'm kind of nervous about my personal training session later today. Right now, as you know, going for a walk, which is really just to get exposure to the sunlight. Because ironically, as horrible and as much as a setback this whole sickness has been, in some ways, there's a silver lining to it in the sense that I am lucky that I woke up at a pretty good time. I woke up at 8 in the morning today. And so I'm hoping if I'm diligent and try to really push myself to continue going to sleep at nighttime, my sleep schedule will be drastically improved. Maybe not perfect, but I feel like it's gotten me 80% of the way there, which I feel pretty good about. Despite being close to zero, it is actually a really nice day out. It's strange. I don't think I've gone on a morning time walk like this in a long ass time. I can't even remember the last time I was up and walking early in the morning. I'm not entirely sure how long I want to go on this walk, truthfully, because I do at least kind of need to conserve energy for my training session. Oh, there's some wind right now. Sorry about that. Not a whole lot I can do about it, unless I want to get fancier and start walking backwards, which is an option eventually, but I'm not feeling particularly agile this morning. I wish I brought some gloves, but that's what you get being Canadian. You're like, I can do without it, but maybe not when you're sick, sir. I really wanted to give kind of a basic thought about how I'm finding this stage of the weight loss. Because the thing is on one hand, I feel like most of the major obstacles are out of the way. I just need to do the work. Like, I've figured out what's working for me. I've addressed most of the structural barriers in the way, and I've devoted time to it. So it's like, really, I just have to keep going. But what I'm finding so immensely tough, especially this time now that I've gotten sick, is that it's so hard to keep going. Like, oh, it's simple, just do what you did last week. But like, I don't know, I saw a video by Picture Fit that kind of explained it pretty well, where he's like, you're so good at coming up excuses at why you need to dial back. Like, that's straight up it. And the problem is I'm not very in tune with my body. I'm not even really sure what's pushing myself too much versus what's not enough. And like, those lines are just so incredibly blurry. And so to me, a big part of this picture is I kind of realize I have to figure that out. And so that's why I've like ambitiously scheduled, okay, this is what I want to do in a week. Obviously that's fallen off the wagon this week, but I know the moment I'm no longer feeling sick, I'm gonna like hit the ground running and trying to push for that again, which is part of the reason why I'm being a little patient with myself. Now, the interesting thing is, I did actually choose to eat a little more over the last couple of days. Instead of aiming for 1,500 calories, I'm aiming for 2,000 in a day, which still isn't extreme. Like, I'm still counting. I'm still, you know, making sure I'm under a certain amount. But I'm no longer pushing as hard because I don't know what the body needs to really overcome this. And I really don't want to prolong this sickness. I would rather just get over with it and then I can continue my super hard push, exercising and eating very little. Like, that's really just where it's at. Like, it's something that I want to get over quickly. And like, I did feel better the other day when I was able to walk an hour despite starting to feel this. I mean, the back and an arm soreness is ridiculous, though. That's kind of the problem I have with this, is that, like, right now, I was originally planning on doing a longer walk, but I think I'm considering myself halfway done, because, wow, does my back hurt. I'm like, yeah, I'll get a bit of back pain when I walk, but, like, no, it's just the aches. It's not the same thing at all. And so, I will say, this is part of the reason why I do want people to, I guess, be easier on people who are struggling with this, because it really is hard to keep going. And if you're in this situation, you have my utmost sympathies, because really, there's only a couple of things that I find are really helping me to stick to it. One is, like, you absolutely need to come up with things you're looking forward to when you lose the weight. You know, like, I miss biking so much. Getting back to that would really mean the world to me. And that's, like, just so huge and so important. So I would highly recommend thinking about, okay, how is being overweight impacting your life, or morbidly obese in my situation? What are the things that's preventing you from doing? And using those as motivation to really stick through it when things are hard. But the other thing that I would say is, like, a super important, essential part of this picture is you absolutely have to have an above average level of gratitude. That's for darn sure. Because, like, oddly enough, I've had a lot of kind comments come my way. Just the other day, I think yesterday morning, I got an email from somebody who's been following these updates saying that they really appreciate that I'm doing it. And he said something to the effect of, I'd tell you I wish you luck, but the fact that you're doing it this way shows me you're gonna make it. So that's, like, really reassuring and nice. That's really reassuring and nice. But, like, I get comments when I'm at the gym from, like, other trainers or even sometimes people who are there saying, like, they find it really inspiring that I'm there. Cause, well, I guess you don't really see a 500 pound guy at the gym every day who's that pure fat. Like, maybe, I don't know how big you can get in pure muscle. Maybe 500 is a bit much. My point is, it's a rarity. And so, like, when you start making progress, if you're at least a little open about it with the people around you, or they start noticing changes, or if you're crazy like me and deciding to publicly document everything while it's in progress, yeah, you're gonna get a lot of nice encouragement and good feedback. Because, to be honest, I actually haven't gotten any hate, really, since embarking on this journey. Even before I was really making progress, I got a lot of encouragement from people who just knew I was trying. And that's really something I recommend holding on to, is the fact that, like, there's so many things that can get you down during this process, that having the gratitude to let in and appreciate the kindness and encouragement you get along the way is a huge game changer. And I would go as far as to say it's a necessary prerequisite to making it, because this is a long road, and you're gonna need every little thing you need to keep you going. That's my opinion. I mean, maybe some people could do it without it, and I weep for them. I hope they can resolve that even in their life outside of this. And the last thing, the third thing that I think is really important to sticking to this the entire time is the subject of my last blog post where I wrote about progression. Noticing things you can get better at. Because instead of like, oh, I'd like to ride a bike again, there are like micro baby steps you can take between where you are now and where you'd like to be, or various things you can improve at. So for instance, this kind of Gabriel going on a walk on his own in colder temperatures is something that's absolutely new for me. And then the progression side of it can be, oh, well, how long can I walk for? How many times a day can I walk for? How many times a week can I walk for? Like, all those things about really ramping up your ability to do things. And it doesn't even have to be purely exercise, but like, that's an easy thing to measure for me because I'm focusing so much on mobility gains. So like, to me, being able to do this kind of walk and being willing to do it is such a phenomenal achievement that that's the progression. You can always raise the level of difficulty, but then that's really gratifying in the sense that now you're feeling more capable. There's more things you can do. No longer are you feeling constrained by the body you're feeling trapped in. You're finally able to feel like it's something you can use to accomplish things. And that's why another mini progression journey I've started is I've started trying to learn to cook on top of all this, because my attitude is a healthy relationship with food is not really just having nothing but protein and green shakes and, living a liquid diet until you're an ideal weight. And then you're like, oh my goodness, what do I do? I define a healthy relationship with food as cooking at least some of the time for yourself. So you have some, concept of the work it goes into cooking, never mind actually acquiring said food. And that's like not the highest priority thing, but like, obviously you don't want to be eating in excessive amounts, and that's hard because like, I think there are a lot of things driving that. I wrote a post, why can't I stop eating, talking precisely about this. Why was it so hard for me to turn around my eating situation? And I think the secret to that is that you, like, when your body is feeling hunger, it's because it's missing something. And that's why being, like, well-rounded in your eating is so important. Like, the difference for me on a day where I eat my vegetables, where I don't have any vegetable nutrition, oh my goodness, the difference is extreme. And so that applies to other things. Protein is very satiating. But I think it's difficult because there's different levels of hunger. And I think part of it is that anyone who's like super addicted to food, kind of like I was and probably still am, it involves some component of missing things you need. And of course, I was an emotional eater too, so I was going well and above what I needed. But I think there's like a yo-yo effect that goes on where like you tackle your emotional eating, but then you're like, oh shoot, I'm still not eating right. So you still feel horrible. And you're like, oh, what was the point of all this? And I think it has to do with a broader picture of like what is an actually good relationship with food. And so the short summary I have of it is that you need to treat eating logically. And what I find funny is I'm sure for many people who don't have weight issues, that sounds silly because they don't think about eating much at all. Eating is just like part of their life in the same way breathing is something they have to do. But like for me, it's been such a big shift trying to make sure that I'm not like making spur-of-the-moment decisions about what I'm going to eat, I make sure there's lots of eggs around, there's lots of protein I can make, there's trying to get more vegetables around. You know, those kind of decisions will make planning what I'm going to eat way more within reach. Because I think one of the biggest problems I had was that I used to be somebody who would, like, especially when I was working remotely, it's like, oh, I woke up, time to order my fast food. And so then I'd have that for the day. And it's a pretty big amount of fast food. And it's like, oh, well, it's dinner time, so I'm going to have more food. And so, like, I can only guess how many calories I was having in a day. So that was a big challenge. Oh. Man, the sun is super bright in my eyes right now. Which was the point. I'm out here to get the sunlight to tell my body, Gable, you gotta be awake in the mornings. Oh. I'm a little nervous because my personal training session is at 3:00. And so I'm hoping I'll still have energy and feel awake by then. Because that's gotta be its own kind of challenge. I am doing a longer walk than I had anticipated. I'm doing the moderate sized walk. I'm now halfway through it. So I added a little bit to it. Oh man, I am so... I'm not feeling this right now. I kind of wish I did the shorter walk. I wish I kind of turned... I went home last time. I said, oh, this could be the halfway point. Oh, God. I am still quite runny. I'm sure you can hear it. And, oh my goodness. I am just feeling like a shambling mess. Oh, I gotta go home and do some dishes, because there was some left over from yesterday night. Oh. Oh. But I will say, losing huge amounts of weight is pretty damn hard. I'm down 70 pounds, give or take, right now. And that's almost the most I've ever lost in my life. I actually went down 80 pounds a couple years back when I was still mobile enough to do biking and stuff. And that worked pretty well. But unfortunately, the guilt and shame of gaining all the weight back was a huge, huge problem for me. It basically put a lot of difficult emotions in my way on top of things I was already having difficulties with. And so I'm almost close to topping that at what I consider a much harder starting point. It's really easy to lose weight when walking still feels like something you can do, at least compared to where I'm at now, where I had to work up to the point where I could walk even as much as I am at the moment. And so I think there's a great deal that people who are, like, in this kind of worst situation that I'm in can think about the fact that whatever you can do, you want to do that as much as you can, because once it's gone, it is quite a painful and challenging thing to get back. Oh, I'm very grateful that I did find an excellent trainer who has been able to help me rebuild my mobility from the foot upwards, which is incredible. But the truth of the matter is, this was an incredibly, incredibly painful process. I honestly, in hindsight, can't even understand how I withstood it. Especially now, when this silly little cold has really set me back in the way it has. I mean, the nice thing is, I'm not gaining. I'm just not losing as quickly. So, I mean, that's just my own impatience vanity and whatever else we want to call it getting the best of me. But I do think it has more to do with ambition. Like, I really am trying to push as hard as I can, because what I want is to make sure I'm doing the best I can do. Like, I was pretty patient with myself while I was sick, but here I am trying to walk again, even though I'm not entirely over it. I'm trying to show myself that I can do these things, even though it is incredibly uncomfortable. Like, the discomfort tolerance that I'm trying to build, it has been such a hard-won battle, because a previous version of me absolutely would have said, just fuck it, I'll just order fast food this entire time, because that'll make me feel good. And what I've had to do during this entire time is basically be like, well, you're sick, Gabriel, you're not going to feel good no matter what. Like, there's brief glimpses of it when I have this, like, cold and flu medication that does help. I'm not on it right now. I kind of want to time it so that it kicks in while I'm at my personal training session, if for no other reason, for it to be easier for me to do what I need to do, because I get pushed pretty hard there. You know, I certainly can't push myself that hard. I'm not that creative either. But I do know that once I get back to going to the gym on my own regularly, I can still make good use of the time. I still remember some of the exercises. I still understand progressive overload. Am I great at applying it? Probably not, but it's a learning thing. I'm trying to be patient with the fact that I'm not going to know everything about maximizing my health situation at this very moment. I'm just doing the best I can in the ways I know and am learning to how. I will say, I'm pretty glad I decided to do this as part of my open web project by having my own website and not really talking about it on social media beyond the Fediverse. Like, I don't really have social media beyond the Fediverse. And I think it's an interesting self-selection, because the kinds of people who will actually read a blog post or listen to something on a website that isn't like YouTube, Spotify, whatever, I think now is a very, very specific group of people. And that's sad in a way. Honestly, I wish the open web was something everybody got to appreciate and make the best of, but sadly, that's just not how it is at the moment. And so, I will say, if you are going on a journey like this, I would highly recommend documenting the process on your own personal website, you know, not a major social media platform, because if you're somebody who's worried about getting hate, I have gotten zero hate. Now, maybe somebody's listening now and is like, oh, I'm gonna do it now, I'm gonna be the person. But I mean, go, you do you. But the fact of the matter is that the ratio of kind and supportive people on the open web far exceeds what you can expect to experience on social media. Now, I think part of this is that, like, on the open web, you kind of have to seek out what you're interested in, or at least somebody has to, like, show it to you. But on social media, people with all kinds of issues, probably even the same kinds of issues, will see things put up in their feed, and they'll get so angry because it reminds them of their own frustrations, and maybe they do feel like taking it out on others. I'm not saying everybody who runs a small blog is great, or everybody browsing the open web is perfect. But I find, on average, in my experience, I've noticed the feedback to be much kinder and gentler than one would expect when you constantly hear from people, oh, the anonymity made everybody mean, blah, blah, blah. Like, I actually don't think it's that. I think, ironically, the open web has the advantage that while in some ways it's more personal, In other ways, it's so much less personal. Like, it's just my own personal blog. It only matters to the people who care to check in on it. Whereas, for other people, when it's their social media, and their feed is being filled with updates from other people who they may resent or be jealous of, or whatever the issue actually ends up being, it feels more personal to them because it's intruded in their world. Which, to me, has a lot of interesting implications about information on the internet in general. I think it's so important for people to embrace RSS and the social web, as people like to call the Fediverse, and these kinds of technologies, because I think genuine organic interest leads to more quality discussions. Not that I'm really thinking I'm doing the best job at this. Like, there are lots of things I would like to improve about the way I'm doing this project of talking about what I'm doing. I'm still not very good at talking about, really, when I'm feeling sad or upset. Like, yeah, I'm sick, but at least emotionally, I'm pretty good at the moment. But, like, there definitely are dark times. Like, it's hard to do this process. And really, it's something you have to focus on every waking moment of your life. And that's tiring, it's exhausting, and it's hard not to face all the difficult emotions that put you into that situation in the first place. Never mind the regret and shame of being this big and being unable to quickly resolve it. Because many people are used to having problems where it's like, oh, you can just stop doing the thing, and like, oh, you just need to start doing the thing. And like, there are simpler personal problems a person can have. But when it's something that's so visible, you can't hide it beyond hiding yourself, which has its own set of consequences. You can really only do what you can to manage those difficult emotions. And it's a tidal wave. Like, it kind of comes and goes. It'll come back and wash over you. And like, this is where I will say faith is pretty important. You do need, you do need the Lord to anchor you during the difficult storm, or at least, you know, have the trust that things will work out. And I think that's kind of the challenge, where it's pretty uncommon for people to come back from this situation. And in my opinion, I do think a lot of it comes down to support. Like, I was lucky in the sense that I got a decently high paying job for a couple of months and was able to save to really launch me throughout this process. But not everybody wants to take the gamble of, oh, I have no idea what my financial situation will look like 6 months from now, but hopefully it'll be worth it. You know, it's a big gamble. Now, things have absolutely worked out way better than I had originally planned, which is great for me, but I'm not going to say, oh, well, anybody can take a risky gamble, and therefore you should do it. Now, in my opinion, I've learned so many things about weight loss now that I'm kind of realizing my situation, as dire as it is, was not as irreversible as I thought it was. And that's kind of the difficult thing, is that like, so much of the barriers to my own weight loss were just mental. They were just my own mental misconceptions, bad patterns, I don't know what to call them. But like, there were mental barriers in the way that were construing how I thought this process worked. And I think a lot of it had to do with the way last time I lost weight worked with a particular set of parameters that no longer apply in this situation. But I'm feeling really good about the fact that, in my opinion, really nobody's that far gone. I actually, when I think about the things that's actually making a difference in my life to actually get the number down, it's actually not as complicated or as out of reach as I thought it was before I started really making progress. I honestly believed all the way up until summer this year that it was still basically impossible for me. And wow, I'm not even like halfway through fall. And I have a very, very different perspective on that. And in short, I would say if you're kind of like me, that it's like, oh, why can't I lose weight? And you have no idea. I would highly recommend putting together a list of all the reasons why you think you can't, and then methodically working on them. I think you would be surprised at how quickly you can address them. Now, some things feel very hard to fix. Like for me, the emotions was a really tough one. And so I'm not saying any of it will happen quickly. I just think it'll happen way quicker and way easier than you thought possible if you find the right help. And so to me, I constantly talk about this book, Guilt, Shame, and Anxiety, Overcoming Negative Legacy Emotions by Peter Bregan. And that book helped me a phenomenal amount. Reading through it was difficult, but it very much felt like, Gabriel, this is your problem. This is what you need to fix. And it has helpful thoughts on fixing it. I do think books are a great place to try to fix yourself. But oh boy, not every book is great. You know, I also read this book, How to Stop Talking Badly About Yourself. And it's called, like, How to Unfuck Your Life and Get Out of Your Head. Which the title sound perfect. But like in my experience, after reading the book, I'm kind of like, well, this isn't very great. I didn't find it helpful at all. But maybe somebody else will. In fact, I was interested in the book based on people saying it helped them a great deal. So like, I don't think it's the same pattern for every person, but I do think there's a great deal that can be done for every single person to make a real difference. Anyways, that's the end of my walk, and so I hope you all have a great one, and if you ever have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out.